Galatians chapter 3. Let's stand as we read verse 28. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the reading of Thy Word, and we pray this night that Thy Holy Spirit would teach us as You would have us taught. Lord, I pray that I'll say only the things necessary to bring glory and honor to Your name and Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message tonight is Interracial Marriage. Interracial Marriage. The reason I read this particular passage of Scripture is because there are many who attempt to use Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 to support interracial marriage. But does this Scripture indeed support it? Is that the truth? Galatians 3:28, which says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are one in Christ Jesus. Well, allow me to begin by saying that the Scriptures does not make any allowance for me or anyone else to teach that interracial marriage is permissible. I cannot find any Scriptures to teach that it is okay, that it is the right thing to do. I cannot find one Scripture in the entire Bible to support that position at all. At all. Now that in itself means a lot to me. But I can't find something to support something. You know, so I wouldn't fool with it on that basis. But let's move on. And I do find, however, to the contrary, that it is clear to me from the Scriptures and from my personal experience in life and the lives of others around me. I'm 30 years old. I've been here a little while. And there are others who are older than me who have been around. And combining the Scriptures with my personal experience, I conclude that God did not intend for man to marry interracially. I can produce some Scripture for that position. I can produce some facts of everyday life to support that position. So, tonight is going to be a message that is going to prove that interracial marriage is not God's will. That is not what God intended. That's what we are saying when we say His will. That's not what God wants. Just as God did not intend for man to have more than one wife, regardless of who had more than one. Just as God did not intend for man to divorce and remarry, regardless of who you know that did it, or regardless of who said it was okay. It was not in God's original plan for man to marry interracially. It was not in His original plan for man to have more than one wife, nor was it His intention for man to divorce his wife, the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh, and to be joined unto another. That was not God's will. Now, I know that this line is a line that many prejudiced individuals and organizations use, including churches, to support their racist activities. They say that they are against interracial marriage, and it doesn't matter to them whether God is or is not. That doesn't matter. Their prejudice filled with hatred and bitterness and strife and so forth and so on, whatever else you can dig out of hell, they are full of that, and therefore they are against it. And so I realize that the statement that I've made pertaining to interracial marriage, that it is not permissible, there are many who would applaud that. Ku Klux Klan would probably take up an offering to help me to spread that good news. The Nazis probably would. And sad to say, there are many white fundamental independent brethren who would probably pay a good fortune for me to proclaim that segment of the Bible. So I want to say, in light of that, that I'm not committed to any man. I don't owe any man anything, and therefore I'm preaching with liberty as I have always in the past. I don't care whether you like this message or not. I don't care if your daddy or your mama like it or not. It doesn't make me any difference. There are several whites in this auditorium and members of this church, and there have been for years. And as I said, I've preached this message before, and I'm preaching on it again tonight. And so I hope and pray that you realize that what I'm giving you is unbiased. I'm not trying to win anybody's favor or anything like that. I just want to share with you what I think the Bible teaches. And if you disagree with that, then I believe that you'll be disagreeing with the Bible and not with me. And when I say the Bible, I'm talking about the only Bible, the King James, the Authorized, the AV, the 1611 version, and that's the only version wherein you will find the truth of God presented in an unbiased manner. So with that in mind, let's move on with an unbiased message from the unbiased Word of God as far as this interracial marriage subject is concerned tonight. I want us first to understand that God set the boundaries of habitation. Now, this truth should settle the question now and forevermore. The first point of my message, I could close the sermon with it and sit down, and that would be sufficient. But I'll not do that. I'll go on a little further. At one time, we were all one people with one language upon the whole earth. You find in Genesis chapter 11, Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1, you find these words: "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. But that is what God wanted. He wanted them to be scattered abroad. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad." You see that? God separated man from them upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. You see, the human race has its origin in one God. God is God. And that's the God I'm talking about. There's only one God. And that's the name, man, that all who are alive, that's whose name, his name is giving you life. His words, his power, God. The universe hangs on that. God, you have to stop and think. God, who's worthy of all praise, who created everything. God. That's the true origin of all men. And then from God came one man, Adam. Adam. We know of him over in Genesis. And then his descendant, Noah. And then from Noah came three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And from these three brothers, the three sons of Noah, the whole world, the whole earth was divided among these three. They were the three major groups of the earth. We find that in Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that all races came from these three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, because the Bible just said so, and that settles it. So let's move on. Then within each major group, God divided yet again these groups into subgroups. And he gave each one of these groups a different language. He put them in different lands with their own nations to govern. And he laid down definite boundaries for them to live within. Look at Genesis 10 and verse 1. It says, now these are the generations of the son of Noah, the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And under them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, Meshach, and Tiras. And then he goes on and gives the other sons. But verse 5 is where we want to get to. It says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their land. Every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Notice the emphasis that I'm putting on their lands. His tongue, their families, and their nations. This was the group of Japheth, a major group being divided into many subgroups, little groups within that one race. They were being broken down. I've heard people speak of Germany as being Gomer and so forth and so on. So it would be safe to assume that this was appears to be primarily the Caucasian race, so that they were the Gentiles and so forth and so on. And then we can go down here to verse 20, and we find the sons of Ham. They were also divided, in verse 20 says, after their family. And I believe if you will look at the verses just before verse 20 and back up to verse 6, you find Cush in there, and I think Cush is supposed to be modern-day Ethiopia. And so it would be on that basis, if Cush is modern-day Ethiopia, you could assume that this was the black race. So the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, after their countries, and in their nations. There. God took the group, Ham's group, and drew lines for each one of them. Within that group. Now here's what I'm going to say tonight that I didn't say in my last message that I preached about 3 years ago now. Was this. You heard me make this statement many times. I've said that not only do I think interracial marriage is wrong in the sense that we're discussing it tonight, but I also believe that a southern boy in America ought to marry a southern girl in America. I think it would be best if a Louisiana girl married a Louisiana boy down here in the South. I think it would be best if a girl and a boy who got married were both from southern Louisiana. And I think it would be ideal if they were both from the same county or parish as we have in Louisiana. I'm an old Louisianian. And I am married to an old Louisiana girl. But, you know, that's just, that's what I prefer, and that's what I believe. And I'm not trying to force that on you tonight. I'm not asking you to accept that. I'm just saying that's personally what I believe. I believe that the line goes farther than just the three major groups of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I think you would be wise if you married even within. I think a German would be better off if he married a German than marrying a Briton. Simply, that's what I'm saying. Though they are both considered Caucasians in the same race and so forth, but because of the boundaries that God established for these different groups and different languages, I believe that they would do wise not to violate even that. Now, I realize that there are not many who won't agree with me on that, but as I said before I got started, I'm not interested in your agreement tonight. You know, I just want to share with you what I believe the Bible teaches. Then it says down here in verse 31, it says, these are the sons of Shem and their families after their tongues in their lands after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Then turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Chapter 32. And we'll begin reading at verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 7 says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. What are we talking about here? Verse 8 says, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, that's us, all of us, black, white, oriental, or whatever, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And by the way, that's the Shem. That's where they came from. The nation of Israel came from Shem. Now, we find that there was a reason why God separated them. We turn over to Acts and we'll see why. Acts chapter 17. Now mind you, the scriptures I'm reading is the word of God. This is God's word, not the McKinney's philosophies. I don't have any. All I know is Christ crucified, and you go to hell if you don't put your faith and trust in that. So I'm just trying to give you what I believe God teaches here from the Bible on the subject of interracial marriage. Now, as you find Acts chapter 17, look up verse 25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands. And Paul talking to the Athens here about an inscription that they'd found dedicated to the unknown God. And let's back up to verse 24 there. And said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth it all life and breath and all things. And have made of one blood, Adam's blood, Noah's blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God determined the bounds of their habitation. Deuteronomy said that God separated the sons of men. Genesis said that God said, let us go down and scatter them. Let us go down and confound their language. Let us scatter them out. So remember that it was God who separated the races. It was God who labeled the races. It was God that gave every race its own language. Now, just keep that in mind. Everybody was together at one time. We were all one. Everybody spoke the same language. God did not want that. Or he would have left it just like it was. If he meant for everybody to just come back together now and do everything just marry interracially and do whatever you want to do now. Why did he do that in the beginning? Could someone answer that? I guess nobody has an answer. I don't either. If God separated the people in the beginning, if God did, if he separated them, does it make sense that he now wants us to all come back together, one race, speaking one language again? Does God want us to do that? Or is that something man wants to do? I think it's something man wants to do. So it's clear to me that God separated the races. And if you get that in your head right there, that alone should be enough for anybody. That fact, that truth in itself is sufficient. That they were together and God separated them. He separated them. And you say, yeah, but that was the reason why he did it. Whatever the reason, he did it. Whatever the reason, God separated them. And whatever the reason, it was a good reason. And whatever the reason, I'm for that reason. See what I'm saying? So whatever reason you come up with for why he separated it, I'm for that reason. And that's why we ought to still stay that way. You know, we're talking about what God intended now. Now, we're not talking about what is. We're talking about what God intended, because we're going to get to what is a little later in the message. And it may even sound like I've reversed myself. And I'm aware of that, even as I'm approaching that point. But right now, I want to establish the fact that God intended for the races to be separate. Now, if man had never crossed these God-laid boundaries, there would not have been the thought of interracial marriage. How could it have been? There wouldn't have been any mixing of the races to even entertain the thought. So therefore, there would not even be the question of whether or not interracial marriage is right or wrong. If man had stayed where God put him, if everyone had stayed in their land, with their language, inside their boundaries, with their government and their nation, man, things could have been different. You say, now, why do you believe God did it? Well, look at Acts 27 there. Acts 17, rather, in verse 27. He said in verse 26 that he set the bounds of their habitation. Now look at verse 27. Why? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. The reason God separated them was he wanted them to seek him. Now, that may not make any sense to you. But see, you're not God. You're a lame brain idiot, didn't have sense enough to get yourself off the road to hell without God's grace and knowledge and wisdom and power. You're nothing, and I'm nothing. Because, see, when they got together, they were acting a fool, talking about building some tower to heaven. So God separated them, and he said, in their boundaries of habitation, they were set, appointed by God, that they should seek the Lord. That is clear, good old King James English to me, man. I don't need a new version to explain that. So the problem is man violated God's boundaries. Man did. And if those boundaries had not been violated, there wouldn't be any question as to whether interracial marriage is permissible or not. But due to one race desiring to conquer and enslave another, the boundaries were violated. Due to one nation desiring the resources, whether they were natural resources or whatever, they took another country and they crossed the boundaries that God laid. And then some left, had to flee their country under persecution, and then they crossed the boundaries. And next thing you know, man, what God had not intended was being done. The boundaries were being crossed here and there. And man looked up and he saw something. He said, what did he see? Well, you know what he saw is just like God didn't intend for man to have more than one wife. Then one day he looked around here and he's got a concubine and all this other stuff. And problems. Abraham had problems, man, with Haggai and Ishmael. They over there fighting his children now. You see? Because he violated God's plan, God's will. I mean, the Lord allowed him to do it, but that don't mean it's God's will just because God allows something to happen. So you can say, well, is it okay? Is it okay? That ain't about nothing. We're talking about what's God's will, see? That's what I'm dealing with. What is his will? What is his will? And neither was it in the original plan for man to divorce his wife and get another wife. The Bible said they were to become one flesh and they were cleave to one another. He was to leave his mother and his father and cleave to her. And you'll find that over in Genesis chapter 2. And you can read that later, but we're not dealing with that tonight. I want to move on. So, man looked up and found himself in a pretty strange situation. He found, the white man found himself mixing with the red man over here. Once he got over here, you know, he started fooling with those squaws, Indians. Next thing you know, the white man was mixing with the black slave women. Then the white man was mixing with the yellow man. Then the next thing you know, the black man was mixing with the red man. Then the black man was with the white man, and the black man was with the yellow ones, and then the yellow one was going to bed with the red ones, and the red one was with the white ones, and boy, everything got all mixed up here till this race thing got kind of out of hand here till who's what now? You know what I mean? It just got kind of all crossed up here, man. And then all of a sudden somebody said, well, should we marry interracially? What are you talking about? You know what the deeper question should be? The deeper question should be, what are you doing in my land? Looking at my son and daughters and asking a question like that. Should you marry interracially? You shouldn't be in my land. Or I shouldn't be in yours. Somebody out of place. See, that's the problem. Right there, my friend, my brother, my enemies, whoever. The problem is that the boundaries have been violated, see? That is the problem. And now that the boundaries are violated, now what? Now, should we marry? That's just like breaking in my house and asking God, should you do a square dance in the middle of my kitchen floor? Though the first question is, you should be asking yourself, should you be in my house? That's the issue. Don't get in my house and start trying to make rules and regulations to govern yourself by, or someone else. You violated something. Amen?
Amen.
Something's been violated, and that's that. So that's why I say, man, look, I'm going to tell you, this thing is interracial marriage now. Look, I'm against it, but I'm going to tell you, it's hard to be consistent because there's a lot of mixing already done and a lot of kids already, you don't know what they are. People are already mixed with a whole lot of everything, and somebody else wiser than I will have to draw that line somewhere. You know, all I can deal with is what I know is clearly, plainly a distinct distinction. You know, this is a pure, well, I guess I probably cross myself out there, because as far as being pure black, I'm not. You know, there's some Indian in my family. You know, and that's why I guess I've got this white boy's nose, this pointed nose. I don't know, see. My nose not as spread as far as Ronnie and Janet. And my wife, she got caught up over there in New Orleans with a bunch of Creoles running around, people mixed with Spanish and Indians. And her dad is grandmother is Indian. If you saw her grandmother, you'd think she was a white woman. I mean, man, it's hair and complexion and everything. And her daddy, he looked like a redneck. He does. And I mean, man, you know, what do you do with them? You know, who do they marry? See, this thing is not as just cut and dry as people try to act like it is. It's just not. Simple as that. You know, you can do what you want with it, but the problem is the boundaries have been violated. Way back yonder somewhere. Shouldn't have been running over there dragging us out of Africa. There wasn't no Indians over there for us to get mixed up with. I'm not supposed to have any Indian in my background. Of course, I don't know. Maybe I ought to be saying, I'm an Indian. You shouldn't have brought that black over here to mix with my Indian mama, grandmama. That's maybe I'm an Indian. I don't know. Which way do I go with it? You may say, well, you look more black to me. But see, the thing is, that's because you've been taught to believe that this is black. But if I went to Africa and Kenya, I wouldn't fit in. My skin is too light for Kenya. See? I'm too short. They're giant. I'm 5'5". I'm too good looking. They're all ugly. But seriously, you know, I don't profess to have all the answers. I'm being honest with you. And I'm weary and leery of those who act like they got it all cut and dry. They need to be honest. It is just not that simple. Because the problem is that the boundaries were violated somewhere back yonder. And now we're in another man's house and broke in his kitchen trying to vote about what we ought to do since we're in the kitchen now. Whether we ought to cook grits or eggs, or should we mix grits and eggs in the same skillet? Shouldn't even be in the man's house, see? So you do what you want with it. Now let's move on. Let's look at some illustrations from Scripture. Genesis chapter 24. As I said, I could close there because that's about the thrust of my message and where I stand on it. You know, those that are clear cases, you know, I try to deal with. But these other, you know, mixed up with stuff, I'm going to tell you now, I don't know where you draw the line on that stuff. I don't know. I'd be crossing myself somewhere. Dave Mills back there, you know, half white. Spanish? Oh, Spanish? Okay, see? He wanted to make sure it's not white. Spanish could have fooled me, though. Genesis chapter 24, look at verse 1. Saying, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put I pray thee thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughter of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. For thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. See, with Abraham, it was a race thing. He wanted somebody of his blood. He said, my kindred. And he made him swear that he'd get a wife for his son that was of his kindred, his race. See, race mattered to Abraham. He didn't just say, well, I'll just go out here and marry one of these Canaanites since we, whatever. Then let's also look at Numbers 36. Numbers 36, and we find that within the nation of Israel, God made it clear that he desired them to marry within their own tribes in order to prevent the inheritance from moving from one tribe to the other. Numbers 36. Read verse 5. These were the daughters of Zelophehad. Verse 5 says, and Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said, well, this is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, but only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his father. And every daughter that possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy, every man, the inheritance of his father. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe. You say, well, but that was just for the daughters of Zelophehad. Well, it says right here, but every one of the tribes, every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. So, yes, specifically for the daughters of Zelophehad, but also for the nation as a whole, they were to stay within their own tribes. And I think that also supports my personal feeling about Germans marrying Britons. I think that they should not do it, personally. That's what I believe personally. Okay, I'll move on. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. I agree with those who say, you know, the spiritual reasons were there. Yeah, they were. God didn't want them to marry for spiritual reasons. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Say, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver thee before them, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughters. Thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter thou shalt take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, God said, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So I agree, there were spiritual reasons why God did not want them to marry interracially. And as far as I'm concerned, that reason may still exist today, depending on what somebody believes. See, that's why I believe that people of the, you know, a Presbyterian should marry a Baptist. You know, one thing, you know, they believe different stuff. Simple as that. I don't believe that lost people ought to marry saved people. I don't care if they both are white or both black, and they're from the same section of the country, same street, live right next door, born and raised up, and got the same cultural background and a whole nine yards. The line is drawn because one is lost and the other is saved. And I'm against that. I'm against that. And that some of the brethren need to be more interested in that than they are in interracial marriage. Some of them put more emphasis on interracial marriage than they do marrying a lost person. I mean, they'd rather see their daughter or son marry somebody lost with a demon going to hell than to marry somebody saved outside of their race. Now, I'm not saying I'm not for either one of them, but I'm saying that you can't just go around saying, well, I don't want my daughter to marry or my son to marry somebody outside of his race. I'd rather he marry a lost, hell-bound, demon-possessed person in my own race. Well, see, you're just prejudiced. That's your problem. You're prejudiced, lying, hypocrite, and you're insincere. You're fake and a phony. It ain't worth a bullet. Your eyes and cross, and your feet not made, and your breath stank, and all that other good stuff. See, you need to wake up and find out and admit that you're just prejudiced, see? You're not sincere. I've got four boys, and I want my four boys to marry within their race. And I hope to God they don't marry at all. That's what I hope, sincerely from my heart. But if they do, then that'll be their decision. I'd like them to marry somebody within their own race or somebody, whatever they are, you know, being that I've got a little Indian, she's got a little Indian, and they got a little black. So, you know, maybe they find somebody with a little Indian and a little black and keep the thing going. I don't know. I don't know what they do, but I know one thing. I wouldn't want them to marry somebody with a little Indian and a little black in them that's lost going to hell. I'd rather for him to run out here and marry somebody outside of his race, or their race, that's saved, that love Jesus, want to do what's right, you know. But if they want to do what's right and they taught right, they won't do that either, you know. But I'm just saying, if I had my relatives, because I'm not prejudiced, see. But a guy that would rather his daughter marry a lost demon that's liable to take his grandbabies and sexually abuse them, he'd rather risk that than to marry somebody outside of the race to save and love the Lord. And may not be taught right, or may not understand all of that about interracial marriage. But anyway, let me move on. Nehemiah 13:24 teaches us that identity was important. Nehemiah 13:24. That was another problem with interracial marriage. Now again, these are just additional scriptures that I'm giving you, but I could have closed the book and sat down on the first point, that God established the boundaries of habitation. Nehemiah 13:24. All of this is extra. Keep that in mind. Look at verse 23. Nehemiah 13:23. It said, in those days also saw I, this Nehemiah talking, Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and of Moab. And the children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. It bothered Nehemiah, God's man, that they were out of touch with their race. They were not speaking their own language. This was an identity thing here. Now, he got to the spiritual later, but he mentioned the loss of their identity first. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but it did to Nehemiah, and it does to me. And he contended with them, verse 25, and cursed them, he said, smoked certain of them and plucked off their hair. He gets pretty rough, doesn't he? And made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons or for yourselves. See, Nehemiah was pretty strong about this thing, wasn't he? He went out there and them little kids wasn't running around here speaking Ashdod. What y'all doing speaking Ashdod, man? What happened to our language? Talking all this Ashdod stuff. I don't know what y'all saying. Nehemiah didn't like that. He got pretty rowdy with them. Kind of sound like me sometimes. Man, I'm glad that's there so I can use it to keep plucking y'all hair out if you get around over your ear. But at any rate, I'm just kidding there, but I do want to move on. And he told him about Solomon marrying outlandish women of other nations that caused him to sin. So the sin factor was brought into the picture later. But first, he got on them about they had lost their identity. They lost their language. And so that, again, is another blow against. The Bible tells us to learn from nature. I'm talking about plants, animals, insects. To learn from nature. You say, what are you talking about, Brother McKinney? Turn to Proverbs 6:6. Throughout the Bible, we are instructed to learn from nature. And Proverbs 6:6 deals with the ant. Here, the Word of God says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. God said you can get wisdom from watching an ant, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. She does what she's supposed to do when she's supposed to do it. She don't goof around and waste a lot of time. See? Some of us need to learn that from an ant. I mean, they're busy. I've watched them. And I've seen one. I picked one up and put him way over here somewhere. I don't know how he does it, but he finds his way back. I don't know what he uses. I'm not a someone to speak on that subject of how they do it. I've read a little bit about it, but I don't understand all that I read. So that's why I try to spend my time reading the Bible. Don't understand all of that either, but that's what I'm called to do, preach the gospel. So I left the ants alone and went back to reading the Bible, because it wasn't making no sense to me how they could just find their way around like that. But I do notice that the Bible is right, as always. She didn't have a guide or no overseer or ruler, and man, they were getting the job done, you know. And in other places, Matthew chapter 6, we won't bother to turn there for the sake of time. Christ said to consider the lilies of the field. He said you can learn something from the lilies. You know how they don't labor or toil. They don't work. He told them to consider the fowls of the air. You know, and all of that's good, man. And also, he said, the Lord did. The ostrich was an example. You know, and he talked about the horse. You know, how valiant the horse is. And he talked about the fish in the sea. Talked about a spider spinning a web and going off from a king's palace. Speaks of the bees. And on the Bible goes. And then it gives us warnings. It tells us how we can know the devil and his nature and his wickedness by observing a lion, a serpent, a snake. You want to learn something about the wickedness of Satan? Observe a snake or a roaring lion, because that's the devil. That's how he is. And so these and many other things in nature has taught man many things. You'd be surprised if man was honest enough to admit how much he's learned from nature. They try to act like they came up with it, but they didn't. God had it already there. You say, well, but what does this have to do with interracial marriage, Brother McKinney? You know, animals and learning from nature. Well, if the Bible tells us to go to nature, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider the lilies and the fowls of the air. If the Bible instructs us to go and learn something from them, I'm going to tell you what I learned from observing them. I've learned from nature that tulips and roses don't mix unless man interferes. You say, well, but, you know, but Brother McKinney, a tulip and a rose can't move. They can't walk. That's right. They stay where God put them. They remain within their boundaries. That's why they don't mix. God tells us, and I'm not certain of the exact passage at this point. I probably should have been. I believe it's Deuteronomy 22 and verse 9. He says that you were not to plant seeds in a vineyard of mixed types, different types, diver types. And I believe that's Deuteronomy 22:9. You can look it up later if you got a strong concordance. So, okay, that is it. Well, that's the scripture I was thinking of. So, God didn't want the mixing of seeds. See? Now, that's something. He didn't want you to do that. But man, he comes along, he tries to mix the seed. Man's always trying to defy and rebel against God. Always doing something he doesn't have any business. Then what about fish? Have you ever seen a fish and a dog mating? What about a cat and a dog? No. You say, oh, Brother McKinney, you know, can't no cat and a dog or a fish. Well, okay, let's get a little specific then. What about fish among the fish in the sea? Does a shark and a dolphin mate? Now they're in the water. What about the fish at home in your aquarium? Does the algae eaters, do they mate with the little guppies? What about the neon fish? Do they mate with the algae eaters? Whatever little fish you have in there, I'm not familiar with it. I just like fried fish. And what about the bumblebee and a wasp? Have you ever seen a bumblebee and a wasp mating? Now, they're insects. They're both of the same class, insects. What about a grasshopper and a fly?
Now you don't see them mixed. You say, but man, you know, Brother McKinney, this is not unreal. I know it. You see, that nature, even nature is against it. As weird as that seems to you, that's how it ought to be when it comes to interracial marriage. That's why you get some small 3 feet tall Oriental married to some guy from Kenya, you know, 7 feet up, and she's got to carry his baby, and the little baby's mouth ain't big enough to hold all of those teeth, and she can't carry the child almost big as her, and I mean, it just creates some problems. Really? He said, how do you know? Well, because you see a mule. How many of y'all know what a mule is? Alright, you put your hands down. Everybody know what a mule is. A mule is the result of man's desire to rebel against God. Man wanted an animal that was steady and strong and stubborn like a donkey. But he wanted him big as a horse. Said, boy, man, he'd be a working machine. So man devised a way whereby the donkey would get up on this platform, the male donkey, and mate with a female horse. Because they knew in his wisdom, you know, that a female donkey could not carry the offspring of a horse. It would kill her. So they knew if anybody had to do the carrying, it had to be the female horse carrying the offspring of the donkey. So they had to build a thing for the donkey to get up on so that he could mate with her. And as a result, you got your first mule. But guess what? They had to do that every time they wanted another mule. Because God didn't bless it. Because God wasn't for mixing. God's not against, he's not for the mixing of animals. They were sterile. I mean, I'm sure the Lord doesn't mind them eating grass now out here somewhere. But when you start talking about mating, it's something built in an animal that they won't do it. They're just not going to do it. Every time a cat sees a dog, he wants to jump on it. And I don't mean mating. I mean to devour. So the mule was cursed as far as its fertility is concerned. Then I read an article one time about a cross between a tiger and a lion. The product came out with the hair of a lion, the male lion around his neck, and the stripes of a tiger, the weirdest thing you'd ever seen. And guess what? It was sterile. Strange, isn't it? We're talking about learning from nature. Now that's strange. That's God defying man, putting man in his place, showing man he's not smart enough. Now, in case some smart aleck is thinking, well, but why didn't God sterilize the humans when we mix? Why doesn't he make us sterile? Well, because God gave us a brain to have better sense, to know better. Animals were merely the objects of man's rebellion. Animals couldn't think. They don't, you know, they don't have any character. They don't understand. But you being a human being, having the breath of God in you, and a portion of something that ought to know something about what's right and what's wrong, it's written in your heart, you should know. So if you want to rebel, that's fine, and you can go ahead and rebel. Now, there's another thing we can learn from society. Now, you don't have to care what society likes or not, but I'll tell you one thing. You live in society. And you may as well give it some consideration. Most people want their children to marry a good little girl or a good little boy within their own race. Most people are like that. Most parents want their son or their daughter to marry someone who is in their own race. and even from my own neck of the woods, even in the same social level, which is where what I am for too, or the same whatever, you know, education, a whole nine yards, you know. So society just doesn't accept it. Now, you might not care, but when couples get married, you're bringing two families together. And you are forcing one family to have to live with another family at a reunion or whatever, or at the wedding, forcing one to not be there if they are prejudiced against the other race and they don't like it. And you are creating a strain in your family. Now, if you don't care anything about creating a strain in your family, if you don't care nothing about your mom and daddy, you know, you can go and marry who you want. Now, I'm not talking about something that's right or wrong or sin. You know, we don't sin, you know, something like that to keep them happy. But I'm saying if it comes down to asking your father or your mother to, you know, to come to your wedding, and if they didn't want to, if they wasn't for it, you know, what are you going to do? Now, as I said, this is just extra. I'm just throwing that in for you to think about it. Being that most parents want their children to marry in their race. They may not verbalize their feelings, but down deep, most parents do. Even you all in here, most of you do. You want that for your children. I've never asked you, but if I did, I know most of you would. So, another problem that reveals society kind of frowns on it is the couples that are married interracially. They kind of sneak around. There are some, they're more out in the open with it now than they used to be, but they used to sneak around. There were places they could not go for their own safety. And I remember when I was in the Air Force that the military assigned such couples to certain places, and there were certain places that did not sign them. Now, you might not could find that policy in writing, but I saw that policy in action, because the military knows what I know, that certain areas you're married interracially, you go off base, that's the last time they'll see you. You'll disappear. I mean, you put on a vanishing act. Now, you may not like that. I'm just telling you how it is. Young man just recently came and visited us and left his black wife at home. Now, he had some story, you know, and that probably was the truth, you know, and I don't have any reason to doubt it other than just being Brother McKinney. You know, that's the only reason I have to doubt it. Because I don't have anything that, you know, on him to think otherwise, that is other than what he said. That's, you know. But at any rate, I can't help but think that he was going to have some problem in this section of Mississippi and in that area where he would have to take her. I think he was going to have some problems. And he, you know, he's a friend of mine. And he's married to a black girl. Been married to her now, going on 2 years. He's got a little child. And I don't have anything against him or her, you know. I'd like to meet them all, you know. But I think he's uncomfortable. You see what I'm saying? Not only does the society and the people in the community react, but the couples themselves, they react. It's something in them. You don't have to do nothing. And they feel weird, like as if you are reacting. And I'm not reacting. You know, I'm acting like nothing's going on because it ain't nothing going on. But I see them reacting. I observe people, too. So, being that parents want their children to marry somebody in their own race, and being that society and people with hatred and bitterness out there want to marry somebody in their own race. I don't see what sense it makes. And, you know, when you got the couples who continue in an interracial marriage, you know, and they don't like it themselves. They may like the marriage, but they know how people feel about it, and it makes them uncomfortable, and it makes them react when nothing's even going on. That's sad, man. That's sad. Real sad. Now, I realize this interracial marriage issue has caused many people to go to hell, both black and white. The blacks were kept out from the gospel because they were afraid, well, if we let them in our church, they're going to marry our sons and daughters, rah, rah, yak, yak. So we just let them go to hell. Mercy. And then there were the whites who had the gospel. It was available to them, and they were so filled with hatred and bitterness that they wouldn't accept the Savior of the gospel. They had so much meanness in them. So busy trying to kill a black man, they didn't have sense enough to get saved and go to heaven. Just bitterness, hatred. The devil has used this race thing to put more people in hell than you can imagine. Really? That's sad, man. Why, they kept us and themselves from the gospel. Acting a fool. Really? They had the gospel and so busy fighting us, trying to keep us out of there, that they wasn't listening to it. They were playing a racist game. Now, there were some probably worse things to you, but a lot of them were just plain old nigger haters. Really? You know, to put it bluntly. Simple as that. And, but yet, you know, they let a Colombian in their church. I've heard of some who didn't let blacks in, but they let a Nicaraguan in. And, you know, and they mixed with Spanish and, you know, an Indian. You know, what do you do with that group? They mix with Spanish and Indian now, you know. What are they? Are they that makes them, are they white? Are they Caucasian? I know. But that just goes to prove that the many are just prejudiced. And because that is the case, you need to realize that. So why marry interracially and expose yourself to this unnecessary evil? And so that's what society has to say about it. Society says to you, I don't like it. Then there's another factor. Culture. There's a difference in the background of a black and a white and an oriental and an Indian and a Spanish or whatever you want to name. You know, as I say, the groups are so mixed up nowadays till, you know, the main three race stuff. I don't know if you can just draw it there. It's so much of a mix-up. But at any rate, whites have one eating habit, Orientals have another, and blacks have their own. Orientals like to eat rice and seaweed. As far as I'm concerned, that's what it is, seaweed. I'm not eating any seaweeds and rice. Fish eyes and rice. Fish head with the eyes still in them and rice. I don't want that stuff. Now, what I look like marrying an Oriental girl come bringing me some stuff like that? Man, we not going to make it. Man can't live off of fish eyes and rice. Now, bring that same rice and put some pinto beans on there, boy, and some cornbread and a Coca-Cola. Now, you bring that here as a glass of tea or something. Now, we can get along. I can get along with a woman like that. That's what's kept me and Ellen together all these years. Cabbage and cornbread. Purple Hull peas and cornbread. Love that cornbread, man. Cornbread and buttermilk. Whatever. And then you jump over here, man, with these white folks. And I, you know, I've been around a lot of them, and, you know, there's some of me here tonight. And I'm just trying to be open and candid. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just saying, I've been with Bill Riddick. I've eaten with him on several occasions. We've traveled together and preached a lot. And we've shared a lot together, and, you know, he's a white pastor. And Brother Bill Riddick, I have been in a restaurant with him and seen him eat a steak that was so rare that I could have put a Band-Aid on that thing and it would have got up and walked out of the restaurant. I mean, that was all the thing needed. It just needed a Band-Aid. It was still alive. I mean, man, white folks like to eat meat bloody. Now, see, I can't be mad at no woman cooking like that. You got to go in there and cook this thing, man. I mean, I'd rather for you to burn it than bring to me like that. Brother Richard said, but Brother Charles would cook all the flavor out of it. Oh, man, I can't handle that. I can't handle that. You've got to have my stuff cooked, man. And I don't know how many of you blacks in here like this, but I know white folks love that gravy and biscuit for breakfast. Don't give me no biscuit and gravy. That ain't about nothing. I got to have some grits and eggs and bacon and some biscuits and gravy. But I've seen them just eat just a plain biscuit with gravy on it. Biscuit smothered in gravy and a cup of coffee. I don't know why they torture themselves like that. But there's a difference, see, in eating habit. There's a difference in what they can endure, different races. Man, you've been in the military, you know this is true. They'll put you in the room with a white guy or a black guy, and the black guy, in the wintertime, boy, he's got that heat on in there. Burn it up! Ha! You go in the room and the white guy's in there, he got the windows open, freezing. Now, could you imagine one of you black girls in here married to some white guy, and you off in a house with him, and it's middle of winter, about July around, I mean, not July, but January, the 20th around here, and it's freezing, and he's laying up there in the bed with the windows wide open. Oh, boy, fresh air. And you freezing to death. You had to sleep in one room, he had to sleep in the other. I've seen white folk walking barefooted in ice, going to check the mailbox. Man, I'm not even going to go to the door unless I got on long johns, a coat, and everything. I can't handle that cold. Whew. Man, then you go to these... You see the blacks riding down the highway in the summer, man? They have air in their car, but they ain't using it. I mean, the heat don't get them, don't bother them or something. I don't know what it is. Now, see, I'm not that black. Man, I've got to have some AC. Now, the average white person, man, he must have. It's a necessity. He'll sweat to death, he'll sweat away. He'll sweat away if he don't have that air down here in Mississippi, buddy. 100 degrees in the shade and humid. Man, he'll backslide and cuss. I'm saying they're different, see? I mean, the makeup is different. Really, I'm serious. So, I mean, what are you going to do living with somebody like that? You don't think that stuff matters, do you? Well, you marry one, you'll see now. It matters. And I've roommated with him. And man, you want the heat on, and he turned it off, and you turn it on, and he's opening the window, and you closing the window. You can't live with him. Man, you got to be the same race, man, to put up with that kind of stuff, man. I remember when I was in Germany about 2 years ago, preaching over there, and man, all their heaters, man, just take the bite out of the cold. It doesn't make it warm. They just barely take the bite out. And then at night, after you're in the bed, they shut the thing off altogether. How many of y'all noticed that? Raise your hand. You've been over there. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. So you are about 8 of us in here been over there. I see why Hitler was going crazy. They wouldn't turn up the heat for him. Man trying to get out of there. But then let me move on to the products of interracial marriage. The children cry loud against interracial marriage because I know some who have suffered as a result of it. And you talk about an identity crisis. Man, you're talking about one. See, just like right now, you know, I think it's some, let me back up a minute. It must be some white guys back there on this air conditioning. See, it's getting cold in here, Usher. You need to shut one of those things off, see? Now, see, this, y'all did? Okay, I just thought somebody, one of the whites, though, was charging the air tonight. He freezes out. But at any rate, what I'm getting at is this. Children have lost their identity, man. They don't know what they are. You know, what am I? I see this boy, and he's this, and he's black, definitely black, and this one's white, and definitely white, and I'm mixed, and I don't know what I am. Now, you say, oh, that identity stuff don't mean nothing to me. You know why it doesn't mean much to you? Because you've never had to do without your identity. So you can't really relate to someone that doesn't have anybody to relate to. See, you've always had somebody to relate to. Although I'm not a pure black, ow, that's common. I've always been around other kids that were not either. You know, people lighter than I am, some darker than me, some same color. But man, when you come up here, man, he's real light-skinned, way up there, and hair's a little different here, and which way do I go? Yeah, which way do I go, they wonder. And I'm going to tell you, I can't answer the question. I can't. I don't know. You know, about half and half, you know. And there are people in here tonight have had problems with it. Besides, I mean, you've had problems growing up. People call you, some of you high yellow. Oh, he one of them high yellow niggas. You know? We've heard all of that. We've heard it. You know, and so just like you went through that, your kids will go through it if you happen to marry interracially. Something is going to happen. You know, now that means something to me, your children, and it should mean something to you. You should care about it. And then I want to get back to our text, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Turn there. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. The Bible says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, let me address that particular scripture for just a moment. All who are saved are one in Christ. But this, my friend, is entirely a spiritual reference here. Nothing in that passage is physical. Because if you try to make this to mean that we are one physically, then you've got to make everything else physical. It says that there are neither Jew nor Greek. Verse 29 says, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are Christ's and Abraham's seed, but are we really Jews? We are spiritual Jews, but are we physical Jews? No, 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 no. There are physical Jews over there in Israel that God is still going to deal with in a way that is definitely different from the way that he's dealing with us spiritual Jews. For you cannot make that Jew nor Greek. There, oh yes, physically there is still a Jew and there's still a Greek. There's a Jew and a Gentile. And God's dealing with both. But spiritually, we are one. We are all the same. And another thing, says neither bond nor free. You mean there's nobody enslaved? Nobody, everybody is free physically? Oh, come on. Come on now. Don't give me that. But spiritually in Christ, we've all been set free from sin and we're bound by his blood. Bound by his love to serve him. Spiritually. And then neither male nor female. Now, if you try to say that, I had a guy in Germany, a black guy, told me this. I don't know what his problem was. He was married to a black woman. I don't know, maybe one of a white wife. He was around there trying to defend interracial marriage. And he said, well, you see, it says right there, neither male nor female. You see, when we get to heaven, Brother McKinney, there ain't going to be no male or female. And I said, but you see, when we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no toilets up there either. Toilets? What are you talking about? I just like to throw people for a loop, you know, say anything. He said, what do you mean there ain't going to be no toilets? I said, you see, down here on this earth, we got toilets for women and toilets for men. And, you know, we respect that boundary, that habitational boundary there. The men go to the men's restroom and the women go to the women. So I know that's not talking about there's neither male nor female anymore. We still respect men and women, don't we? There's a physical difference, isn't it? Spiritually, we are one, but physically, we've got separate toilets. So when you get to heaven, we'll be one. And when we get to heaven, there won't be no toilets up there. So we ain't talking about heaven, man. I said, I'm talking about on this earth now. Now there is a difference that must be recognized between the Jew, between the bond and the free, the Jew and Gentile, rather, the bond and the free, the male and the female, and between the races, too. Physically, there is a difference. Spiritually, no, there's not. We are all one in Christ. And another thing, if there was no difference between male and female, then we'd just marry Frank Lowry to Morales. Marry a man to a man. There's neither male nor female. See, you don't buy that. Come on. You know there's a physical difference. So the reference of Galatians 3 and 28 is clearly a spiritual reference, spiritually speaking. Okay, got that? If you don't, then you just, the Bible says that's ignorant. Let them remain ignorant. Leave them alone. Let them go on their way and do their thing. Now, in bringing this to a close, how do we respond to those who have been married interracially? Well, being that the situation has gotten out of hand and I don't profess to have all the answers, there are cases where the races are all intermingled, as I've said, the best I can do is love them. I don't have them against them. If you come in here, man, on your second, third, fourth marriage, although I believe that you should have stayed married to your first wife or whatever. I don't know the whole background of what happened and all of that, but I'm not going to stop you from coming to church here. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to hold that over your head. And nor am I going to make a big deal or a big issue out of it. I'm not going to do that whatsoever. Although I may feel personally that it's wrong. I'm not going to let you die and go to hell. Well, I'm not going to let an interracially married couple go to hell either. Now, I know many of the white brethren won't let them in their churches. They just have to go to hell if they have to minister to them. But I think that's wrong, really. So this egg, you can't unscramble an egg. This egg's been scrambled. Like Harold Sharp over there, man. I don't know what he's mixed with. It looks like he's mixed with some Chinese and some black and a turtle. His nose looked like a turtle's nose. Now, that's not his fault. And like I say, I messed up myself. I messed up, you know. They used to call me pointed nose, razor nose, and all this other stuff. But the truth is, they are accepted in our church. Black and white are accepted here in our church. Interracially married couples are accepted here in our church. And I think you do a great harm, a great evil by turning people away on that basis. But you let somebody lost going to hell, married of the same race, but they're going to one of them saved and the other one lost. But, you know, people marry them. They'll meet them down at the altar. They'll get somebody that's been divorced 7 or 8 times, marry them again. They don't mind about that. And then, you know what another problem is? There are some of the brethren who, they'll marry an Oriental to a white. They'll do that. But they won't marry a black to a white. See, you don't have any conviction. You're just a lying hypocrite and a fake and a phony. Your feet ain't made and your breath stinks. You just need to just admit it. You're a phony. See? If you're against interracial marriage, you're against interracial marriage. It's as simple as that. See, if you're not going to marry a black to a white, don't marry an oriental to a white either. Don't marry an oriental to a black. And then I'll let you deal with all those other problems too, those offshoots, those ones that are already mixed up, like, you know, somebody like Jane Small or somebody. I don't know what she's mixed with. You know, Morales, I don't know what he's mixed with, Spanish and Indian. You're from Colombia, right? What are Colombians? Coffee beans. Somebody said coffee beans. You mixed with a coffee bean. I'm just saying, man, I don't have all the answers. No sense in me standing here trying to act like I do. You know, and if you got somebody, got them, you send them to me. You know? And I'll start preaching them if they come from the King James Bible references. I don't want your psychology junk. That ain't help nobody. Help put people in hell. And see, and now that's where I stand on interracial marriage. You say, well, I don't know if you're for it or against it, Brother McKinney. Well, as I said, I'm not for it. But I also admit there are some problems that I don't have all the answers to when it comes down to these people who are already mixed and they're wanting to marry each other. Though there are some problems. I'm not talking about with the ones who are clearly from Kenya and the one that's from Germany and the one straight from China. Now, I know that guy straight off the boat from China. Now, he's clearly a Chinese. And the guy straight from Kenya is clearly an African, clearly black. And this blonde, blue-eyed guy from Germany is clearly Caucasian. I don't have any problem with that. I would not. I repeat, I wouldn't marry any of those three, and I wouldn't encourage them to get married. But now what do we do with these other groups? See, the ones mixed with Spanish and Indian, can they marry one mixed with a black and a white? Or can a black and a white marry one mixed with a what? You know, what do you do with that kind? An Ethiopian mixed with an Italian? You know? You go all over there in the Philippines, man, and they got Italian names down there. Some of them mixed with Italian, and they mess around and marry a black, and one of them, then a white marry one of them, and then their kids grown now. What do you do? Who? You know, where do you draw the line? That's what I'm saying I don't have the answer to. And I'm just admitting that I don't, and if you got it, give it to me. My phone number is 875-1603, area code 601. And if you want to write it and send it to me in the mail, it's Jesus Christ Baptist Temple, Post Office Box 406, Ocean Springs, Mississippi, 39564. Anybody that, you think you got the answers to that, I would like to know from the King James Bible, not your thoughts and philosophy. I need to know that if you've got the definite answer. I don't have it. And no sense in me acting like I got it and trying to make a big deal out of something, you know, trying to make people go to hell over the issue. And then, as I said, some people just flat out prejudice. Flat out just prejudice. They'd just rather their daughter marry somebody in their own race, lost, going to hell with a demon, than to see them marry somebody saved of another race. Now, I'm going to tell you, you messed up. You messed up when you get that bad. I'm saying neither one of them is ideal, and I know we're dealing with a hypothetical, but to us. But there are some, but that's not hypothetical to them. Oh, yeah, I'd rather my son marry a black who is lost, got a demon going to hell, and who may take my grandkids and sexually abuse them because he got a demon. Do whatever his father, the devil, tell him, than for her to marry a white boy. You know, who save and love God. You know, and all I know is the Bible is very strong against lost and saved getting married. It's a lot. It's on that more so than the race thing. But I'm not in any means bagging up on it. I'm not trying to turn around anything I've said. I am definitely against it. But I'm admitting, I don't know what to do about those other groups. Do they just all stay single and never marry, you know? Is that what some would say? Probably. I don't know. I wait till somebody violate the boundary again, and get another one just like them, or what? I've seen girls in my community mixed with Oriental and white, and they look like the Creole girls in New Orleans mixed with Spanish and black. They look about the same. I don't see the difference. I don't see it. Maybe in the blood, but you know, I don't know what you do with it. Then let me close by saying this to my own people. You know, being that this race issue and this marriage issue is a problem with our fellow brethren, white fundamentalists, and so forth and so on, I'm not willing to let people go to hell over the issue. What I would do for the cause of Christ, being a black man, if I was single, for the cause of Christ and the gospel and get souls out of hell, I'd find me a black woman and marry her so I can reach my people with the gospel a lot easier without all these problems. Ain't no sense in putting all this stuff I've talked about tonight on yourself and trying to minister to somebody. And you can say whatever you want to say, you can like whatever you want to like, and you don't have to buy none of it, but I know one thing, the scriptures are clear on it. Society doesn't like it. Nature doesn't do it. The couples themselves don't like it. The children don't like it. Then you got Nazis and Klansmen running around. Look, it's too much against you. Why even fool with it? Why put yourself in that type of environment and you're trying to reach people? And that's why I won't marry someone interracially, because I don't know what the Lord has for them in the future. Have a ministry, you know, I doubt if I could have reached some of you blacks in here with a white woman on my arm. I doubt that. You know, man, he can look at me, he got a white woman. He couldn't find him a black one. Rah, 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 rah. You think I'm going to let something like that stand in the way of my ministry and let people die and go to hell? Now, I'm more concerned about people missing hell, man. That's the bottom line issue. Missing hell is what matters. I'm committed to Christ. I'm committed to him to preach his gospel, to preach his blood. Faith in Christ's blood, or you will burn in hell. That's the bottom line issue. Why make an issue out of something else that don't matter? When it comes down to people missing hell, man, no sense in you going around here marrying somebody that is going to cause some problems. Now, the one place I believe we ought to be able to meet, it's where we're meeting now, in God's house, around God's will. Some of the brethren, they'll eat with them. They work with them. They go to school with them. They play ball with them. Then they run back and they pull up it Sunday morning. Don't let that blank in that back door. We won't have them in here and let them go to hell. To me, that's my interpretation of it. I'm not saying it's the way it is. That's just the way I feel about it. The one place we can meet, it ought to be around the Word of God, discussing God's Word. Brother Hart and I are not, we're not meeting out here to kiss one another. He knows he's white and I know I'm black. I'm not making a big deal out of it, and he's not either. I'm here to man to preach God's Word, and he's here to hear God's Word. And the bottom line is, there's not a black church to go to that ain't preaching nothing, and most of them not. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to raise your family? And if you're white and there are no white churches preaching nothing, what you going to do? Huh? Man, surely we can come together like they did on the day of Pentecost there. Those were people from every nation, man. They came together and listened to God's word. And after they got the gospel, each one of them went on back to their homeland. Simple as that. Somebody said, well, you know, man, I don't think we'll even go to church together. Well, you know, you got a right to think what you want to think, and that's your business. All I'm saying is the one place we can meet ought to be God's house, around God's word, and the fellowship in his word. With his spirit. That's the one. I'm talking about the spiritual side where we are one. I talked to a pastor recently.